me a while to get onto this new system. We'll turn this morning in our Bibles to the first epistle of John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. We want to deal this morning with a great subject, the victory of faith. 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 1. Where we read, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Let's continue now with number 440. Number 440, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. I'll ask you to stand if you would.
Now let us look to the Lord in thanksgiving. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before you. And we ask that as we examine this portion of thy word that describes the victory of faith, we pray that saving faith and victorious faith will be the portion of every one of thy people. Grant our God that we may lay hold of truth, and that truth will lay hold of us, to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we would say to thee with a true heart, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," and in speaking to my heart, speak to the hearts of all who are gathered, and we'll thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm certainly thankful that our brother David Lyons will be ministering the Word of God tonight. And I understand I'm not the only one with difficulties. Our brother McDonald will be going to the hospital, and I understand Mrs. Edgerton isn't feeling too well this morning. We missed her in the choir. And understand that Steve Morris's family is ill, and so we miss Steve and Cheryl in the choir as well. So I just thank the Lord David's with us tonight. And this morning too, David. Okay. Now, in 1 John, whenever you read the Apostle John, in his writings, he gives us three great portraits of our blessed Lord. In the Gospel by John, he gives us that portrait of Christ in the bosom of the Father. When you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, here you have a beautiful portrait of Christ in the midst of the church. The seven churches there in Asia Minor. But when you read the first epistle of John, here he gives us a portrait of Christ in the midst of his believing family, the family of God. Now the writings of John are perfumed with love. When he speaks of God, his name must be love. He says, God is love. When he speaks of the brethren, he says, we have to love the brethren. Hereby we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, he tells us in 1 John chapter 3. And when he speaks of the world, in that favorite text in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when John writes, we find that love is the manner, love is the matter, love is the motive, love is the aim of all his writings. Love. But now when we come to the text that we have this morning, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That word overcometh sounds quite different from love, doesn't it? That word overcometh is a word of warfare. It is a word of warfare. Now there's a sound of strife. There's a sound of contention in that word, overcometh. How is it then that the same gospel and the same epistle that always speaks of peace and of love here proclaims warfare? How can we reconcile these two things? It is because there is something in the world, friends, that is antagonistic to love. There are principles abroad in the world that cannot bear light. The Word of God says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Therefore, before light can come, it must dispel the darkness. And in the dispelling of the darkness, we find there are three things in our text that we want to consider. First of all, there is a great victory. This is a victory that overcometh the world. There is a great birth. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's a great birth. It is a new birth. It is regeneration. And then finally, there's a great grace. Faith is a victory that overcometh the world. And faith is one of those blessed graces that flow to the God's children from the heart of God. You see, there is always a struggle if we understand this word overcometh. There is always a struggle before righteousness can reign. And righteousness must reign. For Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, they who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Now, it is the Apostle John who uses that word overcomer. It's not in Paul's writings. It's not in Peter's writings. It's not in James. It's in John. In the Gospel, in the first epistle, and in the book of the Revelation. It's an amazing thing. In the Gospel account, we have our captain and his victory. He says in chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the first epistle of John, where we find the word overcome quite often, we have the conquerors and their victims. In chapter 2, he writes to the young man and he says, I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Here in chapter 5, he says, those who are born of God overcome the world. Oh, the victims, the world. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Now, when you get to the book of the Revelation, we have the challenge and its virtues. Seven times over, the Lord says, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And beloved, every believer overcomes. Every believer. There is not an elite group that are overcomers and the rest are dodos. Oh no, that's not in the family of God. Every believer is an overcomer. This is one of the problems that I have with a so-called, quote, victorious life people. One of the problems I have, they seem to be living on a plane that's up here. A life of victory, and us poor Christians are living. All the rest of us are living way down here. There's no such thing. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ, and there's no such thing as an elite group in the midst of the church. We are all brethren. We are all in the same family. How do I know? Well, that my great text again, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. In other words, everyone who is justified, and by justified means we're saved, everyone who is saved is also glorified. There's not one elite group above another. We are all either in Christ or we are out of Christ. Oh, what a great victory. Whosoever is born of God. And I like a little better translation. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's our blessed Lord, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, if you claim to love Jesus Christ and don't love the others whom he has saved by his grace, you haven't been begotten of God. That's what he's really saying. Because a new birth puts a new nature within. And that new nature loves all the children of God. Let us consider, first of all, the great victory. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When we think of the great victories that have been won by men on the field of battle, when I think of a victorious general, I usually think of Alexander the Great. What a man he was at conquering the then known world. And he cried because there were no more worlds to conquer, so we say it. But that isn't the reason that he cried. And that and there were other worlds to conquer. He never conquered India. And India was known in that day. But why did he cry? He cried because these men were tired of fighting. And they were tired of being away from home, and they wanted to return home to be with their families. Oh, faith is a far greater victory in overcoming the world, friends, than Alexander the Great ever won. And we may have overcome the world in one area. But even if we have, the battle is not won, and the battle is not yet completed. Just because you've gotten a victory in one area doesn't say the battle is over. Now, friends, we are either overcome by the world, or we overcome the world. Now, which is it in your life? Let me ask you a few questions. Who dictates the policy of your life? The world? The fashion of this world? Or the Word of God? When do we overcome the world? When do we really overcome the world? We overcome the world when the world sets up itself as a legislator trying to teach us its customs. I don't know if you rebel against the customs of the world, but I do. Are we living according to the fashion of this world, or is the Word of God our standard? I often come to this question. Our Lord, through Peter, when he speaks to wives in 1 Peter chapter 3, and the winning of their husbands who aren't saved, how are you going to win your husband? He said, you will not win your husband by the putting on of gold. A lot of times, we have the idea that the wearing of gold, and I'm not simply against things, I don't, but we have to be so careful today that the fashion of the world doesn't become the fashion of the children of God. It's not by the wearing of gold, but it's by the hidden man of the heart. And I thank God when I can see someone who is willing to live in a plain manner before God, that Christ will be seen in the life. Let your adorning be not the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. So, you see, we're not totally negative in that text. We don't go naked. But we don't dress for show. And the standard of the world is not the standard of the child of God. The standard of the child of God, beloved, is the hidden man of the heart. And we overcome the world when we are not conformed to its customs. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, don't let the world push you into its mold. And I'm going to be honest with you. We are living in a day when the world is pushing Christians into its mold more than any time in the history of man. pressures are great. Are our actions in the world the same as they are when we're in prayer before God? How are you when you're away from home and you're not in prayer? Are your actions different when you're out in the world? You see, the Word of God teaches separation from the world. We don't hear much about this today. And I may be at fault for that. But the Word of God teaches separation from the world. And you see, we overcome the world when we rebel against its customs. You see, God cares little for the world's opinion. The world's opinion doesn't mean anything to God. And friends, be careful when the world smiles on you. I'd rather have the frown of the world than the smile of the world, anytime. I'd rather have the world's frown than the world's smile. James tells us that the child of God keeps himself unspotted from the world. A great victory. This is a victory that overcometh the world. Let me ask you, are you overcome by the world? Or do you overcome the world? Every child of God is an overcomer. Now let's talk about a great birth. A great birth. Our text says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And then he goes on to say, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The new birth, friends, is that mysterious point in all the doctrine of salvation. Our first birth is mysterious. Now, I can't even speak about it. I was there when I was born, but I don't remember it. And I'm afraid you don't either. Our new birth is mysterious. Our second birth, it is hard to describe. And our Lord said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it willeth. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it comes nor where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind, and you can see where the wind has been. Now you can't see the Spirit working in a man's heart or a woman's heart or a boy's heart or a girl's heart. You can't see that, but you can see the results of it. You can see the results of it. For the new birth is supernatural. The new birth is not a change of name. It is a change of nature. It gives the person who believes a new nature. It is supernatural. Man can't provide the new birth. Only God can. The Bible alone can't accomplish it. It is the Word of God plus the great work of the Spirit of God. Now the person who is born of God, this is an enduring change. The person who is born into God's family has and keeps the family likeness. That's why he says, whosoever is born of God not only loves him who begat, but he loves him also that is begotten of him. That other person has a family likeness too, that they have been begotten of God. It's an enduring change. You see, the person born into God's family overcomes the world. Why? He lives on the very principles that the world opposes. And the principle that the child of God lives upon is love. Hereby we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. We love everyone who has been begotten of God. Now let's consider our great grace. And when we talk about that great grace, I'm talking about faith. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Believers do not triumph over the world by reason. You don't get victory by reasoning the thing out. Now, reason is a good thing. but never put reason in the place of faith. Now, reason is like a candle. Faith is like the sun, but I don't get rid of the candle. I keep both. So I thank God for the sun. My, what light and what warmth flow from it. But I don't neglect the candle. The candle is important too. I'm not going to throw the candle away just because the sun is up. I'm going to keep them both. So it is with reason. You see, just because faith has come doesn't mean that we throw out reason. Oh no. I use my reason as a believer. But when I come to real warfare, friends, reason is a wooden sword. It breaks and it snaps. But faith, on the other hand, is made of genuine steel. It is true metal. It cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, for it is based upon divine revelation. And apart from divine revelation, apart from the Word of God, we have no faith. Now, faith says with James, he that would be a friend of God is an enemy of the world. For he that would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you know anything about overcoming the world? Do you know anything about this? Faith is a victory that overcometh the world. Do you have saving faith? See, this is true of every believer. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. This morning at the close of our Sunday school lesson, which we never got to, it mentioned the three offices of Christ. Now, if in your Sunday school lesson you got that far, thank the Lord. But I didn't get that far. And you see, Christ is our prophet, Christ is our priest, and Christ is our king. Here are his three glorious offices. As prophet, he instructs us. When he gave the great commission to his own in the gospel by Matthew, he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you." As a prophet, he instructs us. Have you ever gone through the Gospels and looked at the commands of the Lord for his people? Now we're to teach them all things that he commanded. And you know, when you go through the Sermon on the Mount, he has some definite things to say to his own children concerning how we deal with others and whether we love one another or not. Now, these are totally contrary to the ways of the world. If a man smites you on the one side, turn the other cheek. That's part of the command of the Lord. Non-resistance is part of the command of the Lord. Teaching them all things. And it's an amazing thing when you study church history. No believer ever took up arms in warfare until the 3rd century, till the days of Constantine. What an interesting passage. This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Christ is our prophet. Christ is our priest. He made atonement for us, and he represents us at the Father's right hand. But Christ is our King. He rules over us. And we obey him. And the victory that overcomes the world is by faith, a great grace that is given to God's people who have been regenerated. They overcome. We obey him. I'd like to close with just a little poetry this morning. Have I that faith that looks to Christ? Overcomes the world and sin, receives him, prophet, priest, and king, and makes the conscience clean. If I this precious grace possess, all praise is due to thee. If not, I seek it from thy hands, O grant it, Lord, to me. I ask you, do you have it? Do you have it? Here's one way we know that we're born of God. We overcome the world. We live contrary to its standards and its customs. Because we are in Christ, we have been born of God. Now, if your desire is to be like the world, then you have not the nature that comes with a new birth. And you need to be born of God. And you need to cry out to Him to graciously save you. I'd like to sing a hymn in closing. It's number 382. Just one stanza of this hymn. I like the whole hymn. 382, and I'd like you to sing with me the second stanza only as our brother leads us. For it deals with this subject of faith. 382. We all know this hymn, probably from memory. But the second stanza says, I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. I don't know these things, but this one thing I do know. I know whom I have believed. And oh, my friend, if you know this, then you can say, I overcome the world. And I have the basis for overcoming within. Now we pray thee, our God and Father, that with this word you'll search our hearts for the Lord Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Let's stand together and